It's day one of Edinburgh Fringe. There's 3 weeks ahead. John Hinton joins me, and we've spoken to John before about a pretty unique brand of theatre that's gone down very well in Edinburgh through Tangram Theatre. He's also a writer, performer in his own right. I'm going to put a word to you, and you're either going to push it back at me or you're going to take it. Okay. Edutainment.
Yes, I've heard the word. It's a clever old word, isn't it? The key is entertainment. It's always the audience who are there on the day giving them a good time. That is the most important. So if there was a way of reformulating that so that the attainment bit was first, I don't know if you can, I might leave that to you to figure out a different word that would put entertainment first.
But it also suggests that, you know, with the edu at the first, that it's an input, whereas actually entertainment is key to you and education is just part of it.
I just make shows about the things I really enjoy, and at the moment that happens to be science. And if I've found out something about the world that I want to share with people, if it's educational, great. Edutainment suggests a slightly younger age category maybe than my shows tend to be aimed at. I think that all theatre educates you on some level, if it's about human emotion or relationships or what's going on in the world, politics, anything like that. It's all educational, and mine just happened to be about science.
Is there any sense of mission that a lot of us are kind of, my favourite term, wretchedly content? You know, we don't question as much. So, you know, we don't know much about science, but we eat the stuff, the products that come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably recently it's become all the more important with certain very important people around the world. Disliking science in certain ways has become all the more important that we put it in front of people and get people to challenge, make hypotheses, and test them, and through science. There's one of the most amazing things about science is that there's still so much to discover, and that anyone who's watching one of my shows, whatever age they are, you know, is actually in a position to make some fascinating discoveries in the future as well, and keep pushing the boundaries there.
But there is it's been in TV for a long time. There is the fun of science, you know, the joy of science, the joy of discovery. But there is also the fear of science in terms of, you know, people have an intuitive dislike, of genetically modified food here, and they have a great fear that if we sign a trade deal with the US, you know, we're going to start letting in all kinds of stuff, including genetically modified food. So at one level, there is a fear of it because it's connected to corporations. At the other level, I remember I grew up with lots of science TV programs that absolutely, you know, were not only joyful, but they were fascinating, and you just wanted to watch more of it. Yeah. There was comedy in there, but there was also that kind of discovery wow moment.
Yes. Totally. I mean, that's science at its best, obviously. I mean, science at its worst, I guess, is science linked to corporations. Marie Curie, who I wrote my previous show about, she gave away all her discoveries for free. So did Tesla, one of my other favorite scientists. You know, they made their discoveries for the good of mankind, and there was no sense of financial gain from that. That's exactly what it should be about. And I think, if we can show a joy in science, and which a lot of the, as you say, TV programs and a lot of the theatre that exists at the moment does, you know, give that kind of joy about it without necessarily being linked to products and so on, then hopefully that aspect of science will inspire the next generation.
When you decide to do a show, you mentioned Marie Curie, you've got your show here. We still haven't said what it is, but we are going to in a minute. But when the desk starts to fill up with all sorts of research and ideas, you know, how do you, as John Hinton, the writer, what's going on in you where you go, that's in?
This current show,
I've got to say what it is.
Is called Encyclopedia of Science. This is very much a hodgepodge of things about science that I've discovered while researching the other shows that didn't quite fit into them. Okay. Yeah, so I basically rediscovered, I'm a science evangelist, I've rediscovered science in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, spreading that to the audience, and I've read so many books about it and so on. And, you know, shows have to be an hour long, and you don't necessarily fit what you want into those shows. So with this show, I had the rather bizarre idea that I'd try to cram a lot of the untapped ideas into one show. So I'm doing a song about science for each letter of the alphabet. Mm. And I'm trying to cover as many bases of science as possible. Mm. So that's how this one came about. Because there was so much material that I wanted to get into a show. And I mean, it's a really nice format that hopefully I'll continue to explore with other encyclopedias as well in the future. But I
guess almost like some stand-up comedians do, is suddenly you'll discover something and you can think, from a theatre point of view, oh, now that's going to surprise people. Mm. So that's in. Or you might go, that's actually funny. That's ridiculous. You wouldn't think that was true. That's in. You know, what's your decision about what's in and out?
Oh yes! At the end of the day, yes, it's got to be funny and entertaining. You know, if I'm just musing on a letter of the alphabet and I go, oh, the olfactory orifice of the octopus, I come up with, and then I go away and I do research. Does an octopus even have an olfactory orifice? And I discover, yes, it does. And it actually has a rather interesting story behind it. So I write a song about the olfactory orifice of the octopus.
Okay, and you're very witty, and you're not short on words. You're very erudite. So you're doing wordplay first, and then the research follows.
Yeah, it comes both ways, absolutely. So, I mean, some of them, you know, I have a big team of peer reviewers for this. So with some of them, like, I wrote to all my previous peer reviewers and said, I'm doing this new show. Do you want to claim a letter of the alphabet? And one of them put his hand up, you know, electronically and said, B, please, for Big Bang. I'll do your Big Bang song. Right. So that had to be that because he was the first one in. So it's in all sorts of ways. And then I look down the list and I go, I haven't done dinosaurs. I've got to get dinosaurs in. Okay, Jay is available, Jurassic. It's all sorts of different ways. Another thing about this show, which has informed the selection process to some extent, is that not only am I doing each song about an area of science, starting with each letter of the alphabet, I'm doing them in either a genre of music or on an instrument, starting with that same letter of the alphabet as well, which kind of narrows my options, but also widens them considerably, because it means that I'm forced to have a lot of instruments on stage and you know, to explore new genres of music that I've never touched before as well. You know, are there any genres of music starting with a K? Yes, there are.
but also, as you get a bit older, and you know, you do more and more shows, there's a danger of it becoming a repetition rather than a development.
Yes.
So you know, are you pushing yourself harder, making it harder for yourself deliberately?
Yes, I'm making it very hard for myself, very deliberately, absolutely. Totally, I mean, this is an entirely new format with this one. You know, I did my trilogy, which are about Darwin, Einstein and Curie, and they're very different, but they're basically the same format and they fit together as a trilogy. This is an entirely new format, which you have to do, as you say, to challenge yourself. Who knows, hopefully this will turn into a trilogy of sorts, and then again, I will have to abandon that, find an entirely new format again.
When we discover that people like Darwin, you know, went through, you know, moral decisions and religious decisions, and Curie gave all the work away, do you think that in an attempt for science to become more, quote, objective, it's become a bit colder?
It's become colder, yes, for a few reasons. I mean, there's not so much the personalities in science that there used to be, because science nowadays, you know, they've just discovered and named a whole raft of new elements. They weren't discovered by just one person in their you know, lab in their garden as elements used to be. They were discovered by big teams with lots of funding behind them. So in that way, yes, it's a little bit more distant because you don't have the Einstein with his crazy hair as an iconic image. You know, there are some. There's Higgs, but we don't really know what he looks like. I mean, generally, you know, his picture isn't all over the place. There's some.
So scientists have become like snooker players.
Yes, a bit more anonymous.
Yeah, yeah, and also, yeah, they just don't do good interviews.
They don't do good interviews. Yeah. I guess so. Yes. Yeah.
But has that led to you then focusing more on the science and less on the scientists?
Well, yes. I mean, there's so many more scientists I could have covered as well. I mean, it's also very difficult to do living people anyway for other reasons, for rights reasons, and because you know you don't want to upset people and so on, and you don't want to only focus on the positives either. You know, all these people, they had, you know, darker sides of their character that I want to explore, and with living people, it's a bit more tricky. But yeah, for sure. There's maybe part of that. Writing shows about very contemporary science. Maybe you're not focusing on the person, on the personal history as much.
In terms of your audience, I mean, you're very clear that you're aiming it at the 5 to 10 year old, but also the 50 to 60 year old that maybe may have come with them, or 30 year old. So you do have to target this well without ending up targeting nobody.
Yes, that is an issue I found with some of my shows. This show, we are very specific. We say 7 to 107, which is what we call board game theatre. You do, absolutely. I mean, I've done this show, a version of this show, in schools as well, and in schools where you have a much narrower age group, I do fewer of the songs. I don't do the entire alphabet. I will do about 35 minutes of songs and then a Q&A as well. So I select the songs that are aimed at that particular age group, and that will be different Key Stage 2 and Key Stage 3. I am very keen to be considered someone who can write for adults and children equally, and not to, you know, patronise the adults when I'm talking to the children and vice versa, but to actually do something which will be engaging and entertaining to that entire range, hopefully.
What made you decide to do even more song this time?
I'm a songwriter before I'm a playwright. I was, historically. I've written songs for more years. And just that when I've written these other shows, I mean, the should we say, scenes in them, you know, they work very well. You can definitely get science across there. But the things that people go out talking about, and the things that people repeat back to you when they see you in the street, are the songs from those shows. That's what gets the information into people's brains much better, and hey, it's a spectacle as well. You know, I want to, you know, I had a band. We still meet up and rehearse very occasionally, but I kind of have missed that as well. While I've been doing more theatre, and I want to, I've wanted to do something that's more a gig format, and I'm really enjoying doing that.
Two final questions. One's not quite a question, but could you do your alphabet backwards, please?
Can I do my alphabet backwards?
Right now.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Yes, I will try. Yes, of course, because I've got the. I can do it through the show. Okay, let's try it. So I've got Z. You don't want me to tell you what they're no, about no. in the show, is that? Okay, great. Okay, so we've got Z, Y, X, W, V, U, T, S, R, Q, P. O, N, M, L, K, J, get a bit tangled up there, I, thank you, H, G, thank you very much, F, E, D, C, B, A.
That's pretty good, and that leads me to my final question, because you can do that, which is, favourite letter?
Oh, favourite letter. Well, favourite letter kind of visually of the alphabet is probably Z. Favorite letter of the alphabet in terms of the songs I'm performing at the moment. Well, S is an old favorite. S is the oldest song in the show, and I've really liked resurrecting it for this show. So that's always a winner.
John Hinton, the Encyclopedia of Science here at the Edinburgh Fringe. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much indeed.